Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part to our EWTN family, and we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. You know, we would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And today, we are thrilled to be welcoming back Ann Leopold to our show. Now, Ann is the founder and CEO of Emmaus Home, which is a nonprofit organization that provides affordable, holistic, and faith-based housing to adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and it's in Pennsylvania. In January, Emmaus Home launched Bean Ability Coffee Cafe, which is a beautiful coffee house that provides a place for belonging, volunteering, and culture. And if you
that
go-
That place is jumping.
It is beautiful. Yeah. Maybe you just want to go there for a good cup of coffee. So today she's here to continue our conversation all about the great work at Emmaus Home, everything that they're doing, and the need that there is for faith-based housing for adults with disabilities. Please go out to the website. You will be blessed. It's emmaushome.org. And there you'll see highlights and conversations of family members who have placed their loved ones into Emmaus Home and hear their stories and the difference that it's made in their lives. Just what's happened to their children, their adult children, who are coming alive and really being supported in a beautiful community. So please go out to the website, emmaushome.org.
Well, community seems to be breaking down all over the country, all over the world, but not in Emmaus Home. Community is being built up and it's expanding. And so let's pray for this great ministry and support it any way that we can. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Please don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Ann Leopold. She is the founder of and CEO of Emmaus Home. Please go out to the website, emmaushome.org. It will put you in a beautiful mood, I promise you. Well, for our friends and family that didn't get to see the show yesterday, give a brief overview of Emmaus Home, the ministry of it, and its vision.
I founded Emmaus Home almost 11 years ago. And on behalf of my son, Kevin, fourth of my eight children, who has severe autism and intellectual disabilities. And I didn't like what I saw in the secular world. I didn't think there was any place that could match the love of his family mm-hmm. for him. So I founded a nonprofit, Emmaus Home. The gospel of the road to Emmaus really was the catalyst behind the name. Mm-hmm. The disciples didn't recognize Jesus. And I feel society doesn't recognize all the good in our residents with disabilities. Mm-hmm. It's not what they do, it's who they are as beloved children of God. And they're so beloved. And they teach us really the secret of life. Mm-hmm. You know, what you see is what you get. And they're so pure of heart mm-hmm. that they're just a joy to be around.
Right.
That doesn't mean it's easy. Mm-hmm. They have challenging behaviors. You know, and they could be very childlike in their emotions. So, you know, it's not easy, but then nothing that you do for the Lord is easy, is
right.
it?
But it's worth it.
Oh, 100%.
And the test for us this side of heaven is working out our salvation with fear and trembling and just saying, Lord, what is the greater good that can come out of this? Because you're a mother of eight. You had seven other children. One just happened to be autistic. And so you were like, we have to do something. We have to make a way, because if we're one family that's suffering and hurting, just imagine how many other people out there. And you had seven other children to help and to help carry the load. And sometimes that's not the way it is in other people's lives.
No, no. And we have presently 21 individuals that we provide housing for. And then we also go into additional people's houses to help their children that are not ready, you know, to place their children. And there is a waiting list of 30 individuals that are waiting to get into one of our houses. But it's such a daunting process to acquire a house. We don't own many of our homes. We only own one, actually, because it is so expensive right now to buy a home. So there's a great need, and we rent homes, and that's not always the most stable thing. A landlord at 30 days notice could evict us. So we want really to own our own homes just for the security and stability for our beloved residents.
So you have one home that you own, another 12 or so that you're just kind of renting there. The state does do some funding, but it's not for getting a home or purchasing a home or paying rent. It's for the inner workings of what's going on in the homes that you have.
Yes.
And like you said, these other homes that you're renting could come and go at any point based upon who you're renting from. So that's a lot. And these are real people in these homes. You need stability.
Yes, and they'd love their homes. You know, they absolutely, they decorate them. They pick the colors of the paint. They're you know, as independent as they possibly can be. And, you know, with my own son, he comes and visits every week, but he always says, I'm going home. And that is success.
Yeah.
It's, so, and because it's a place for him where he says, this is where I belong.
Yes.
This is where I'm flourishing. You know, and it might not look like a quote unquote normal situation for someone else, but it's his normal.
Yes.
And you want to make his normal as comfortable and pleasurable as you possibly can.
Yes.
And like you said, with some of your people in this place, I think it might be especially so with autism that I find a little bit of knowing some people, that stability, routine, that, you know, why would this change? And once I get this rhythm and I like this here, then don't take me out of it.
Right, exactly.
And so you said that's being established with your people, but the fact of the matter is these homes could be taken at any point.
Yes, yes. So it's scary.
Right.
And, you know, we rely on the state, but it's not enough.
Right.
You know, our payroll is through the roof. We employ over 50 people right now just to care for our individuals and to give them a beautiful life and for them, for their health and safety. They require such supervision.
Tell our family about Beanability and this beautiful cafe that you have. Where did it come from? And like, what was the thought process in it? And how is it being sustained?
So you're really smiling when we speak about it. Is it Beanability?
Yes.
Okay, so you like that.
I do. It's actually my husband who came up with that name. Because everyone has an ability, you know, one way or the other, as the video highlights. But it was in my mind's eye for a couple of years. And I wanted a place, a belonging place, where our people and other people could come and hang out together, form relationships, and, you know, listen to live music. So we have live music now twice a week. We have Christian singers that come in on Thursdays, and we have a jazz trio on Saturdays.
Yes.
So it took about a year. We got a donation, and we had to renovate and make a former insurance office ADA compliant, and that included an ADA bathroom. So that took a while. So we officially opened this past January, and we have we're open 5 days a week, and I'm there a lot. So that's taking up a lot of my time right now. And I, you know, God really does have a sense of humor, because I never thought I would be a barista at this stage of my life.
You've been that all your life. You just didn't know the name for it. You've been serving coffee all along.
Yes. So, yeah, so it's a great place. Families come in. You know, I have games around. They play checkers. One dad is teaching his little girl how to play checkers. I think that's so cute. And another young man showed up one day with a suit and tie and his resume. He's special needs, but he's going to college, and he wanted to know how he could help. Another kid writes rap music, and he comes in and sings rap music every now and again on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've had local schools come in after showing the video, then the kids come in, and like to me, that just broke, that was everything to me. You know,
beautiful.
That kind of thing's happening every day.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a beautiful way for parishes, churches, to get involved. Mm-hmm. You know, with donations, I would think of the Knights of Columbus in ways that they would want to come up alongside of you and say, Ann, what is your greatest need? Mm-hmm. How can we help you? Mm-hmm. The Knights of Columbus are doing such beautiful work all over the world. And I know their heart is also for special needs, and they work so well with pregnancy help centers throughout the world. I would think that would be a good way for them to come in and say, what can we do, you know? Such beautiful ways that people who are sitting home going, wait a minute, I could do something. Mm-hmm. Maybe I could write a check. Maybe I have gifts and talents, or mm-hmm. maybe we could do a coffee, a drive, something just to be a part of the beautiful ministry.
Yes, I'm really excited. Actually, next week, on Monday, we have a priest who's celebrating Mass at the coffee shop. Mm. He has a brother who we used to serve who has profound autism. Mm-hmm. So he's going to give a little conference on how his brother's disability helped form him and help his vocation to the priesthood. And we're going to have fellowship. So I'm really praying that that's fruitful.
Yes.
And that families that are touched by disabilities will attend.
Yeah.
Well, you use the word culture in your teachings and sharings in various places, building culture, a different kind of culture. Mm-hmm. And this Bean Ability really sounds like that. It's a great opportunity for families that might know very little even about what you're doing to go there to experience the joy, the community, the accompaniment that's taken place, the unity that's there. And you know, people's lives are, you know, boring in a lot of ways. You know what I'm saying?
Like, well, they're in screens. Yeah, they're on screens and they're so disconnected.
Also, they're in places doing things. Right. How many times do they come and say, you know, my life is so boring. But if you don't want to be bored anymore, you know, come here and have a cup of coffee with these people. Find some new friends, like the friends you don't have.
Right.
And find out what they're going to teach you when you're together. Yeah. You will love this community and this culture of life that's here.
Yeah.
So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
And I invite people to go just to see love in action.
Yeah.
You know, because you think of this culture of teenagers and even adults, you know, everyone is so lost in their screen. They're so disconnected from purpose of living and being and doing. And usually it's best when we're giving ourselves away.
Yeah.
That's usually the best version of ourselves, right?
Right.
And so it's like, let's go, let's explore this, let's see what we can do and ways that we can plug in and help.
Yeah, and you know, I could only be open in the beginning 2 days a week, and I knew, 2 days a week, I'm not gonna sell enough coffee to sustain the rent. You know, we pay a hefty rent on this building.
Mm-hmm.
So I prayed and prayed and prayed, and you know, people that I thought would be good part-time baristas came and went, and I thought, all right, Lord, you know what, I don't know what you're doing here, but I know that you've got this. So a young teenager comes along who's a homeschooled boy from the neighborhood, from a wonderful Catholic family, and he wanted to work there. Mm-hmm. So he's running the shop as we speak.
Excellent.
That's excellent. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and his mother said he's loving it.
Mm.
He's loving the entrepreneurship of it and the business side of it and making a good cup of coffee.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a GoFundMe a couple weeks ago, and we raised enough for an espresso machine, a gently used an espresso.
Yeah.
So we're taking it to a new level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Way to go. How exciting.
Tell us about an upcoming mini retreat. See this here. What is that all about?
It's called Filled to the Brim, a retreat for hope, because this is a year of hope.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to just highlight what a blessing a negative diagnosis can be, and that it doesn't have to be the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And disabilities is very isolating.
Mm-hmm.
I was there in my life when Kevin was having some pretty bad behaviors, and we could go very few places, and we were in the house a lot, and I felt very alone.
Mm.
So I don't want that for other parents.
Yes.
So So do you go to a retreat center?
No,
and have
we're
this?
Doing it right at our little cafe. So we
Wonderful.
Have to max it out at 30 because it's only 1,200 square feet.
Okay.
Yeah, but we've already had different events. We've had a local artist in the Philadelphia area does Saints Alive, mm-hmm. where he's just written a new album all about lives of the saints, and he performed there. Mm-hmm. And of course, the air conditioning wasn't working that night, but you know, I said, well, yeah, offer it up.
Offer it up. There you go.
That's great. You know, this morning before the show, I was out walking. So we live in this community. We've been living there now like 43 years. I walk, I jog, I do things there. People get to know you. See, I had a lady pull up. And she said, Reverend Pinto, because she knows me as a former pastor, you know, would you pray for me? She's in the car, and she looks, you know, pretty depleted. So I said, well, what? She goes, I think you know who I am, and I have a daughter that's disabled. She's always in the wheelchair and so on. That I knew what she was talking about. So she just had, she's probably been in this wheelchair for about 20, 30 years now. Mm. And she has some surgery on her spine. It's made it even more difficult, I guess, for her. She is so worn out. Mm. And she just said,
for being the caretaker.
Yes. So I prayed for her right there. You know, I just prayed for her, and she lost her husband. I know he was a minister. He passed away. So she's got this this daughter now that's, you know, probably 40 years old or something, 35 years old. And then so I said, yeah, well, you know, so I was walking away after praying with her, and then she called me back. She said, Reverend Pinto, come here. And here's a wheel, and right by the windshield, she takes a picture of her daughter when she could stand. Mm. And she says, Reverend Pinto, this is what I see when I see my daughter. This is what I want to see, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was just so moved, but like you're saying, people are so alone and lacking community. Mm-hmm. I went home and I told you, I said, but I can't do anything for her. You know, I guess I can pray and all, but like, I can't fix this. I can't, but at least you're offering some aid, some assistance, some mm-hmm. community, some something that you're not alone. We actually understand what's going on here. Here's what can be done, what really can't be done. You know, people need that. Yeah. The lady was pretty desperate with me.
I had a mom walk into the coffee shop a few weeks ago, and she just hugged me, and she said, thank you for providing a place for my son to come to. Because once they graduate at 22, and they're not able to work, there's very little out there that the state provides. Mm-hmm. You know, there are certainly some church groups, some community groups, advocacy groups that, you know, provide as much as they can, but there needs to be more.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, how beautiful it is to have a coffee shop as opposed to going to an adult daycare. Right. You know, it's like here I go and I can have coffee. If I don't drink coffee, I can get something else to drink. But I'm among the living.
Yes.
And I'm doing the living.
Right. And you're getting entertainment.
Yeah.
Oh, are they?
How beautiful. How beautiful.
Yeah.
We're going to take a break at this point, and we're going to hold you over for the final segment. This has been such a delight and a holy conversation. So there's plenty more to come. We'll be right back. It's emmaushome.org, emmaushome.org. Go there now or after the show. Just see the beautiful video that's there. See these faces. Mm. See Jesus Christ emanating from these faces. And the welcome, as Christ welcomed you, you should welcome one another. Mm. Emmaus Home, welcoming these precious, precious people. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Wrapping up our conversation today, unfortunately, I'd like to talk on and on and on with Ann Leopold. It's emmaushome.org, emmaushome.org. So, Ann, just share with us again, you've got these homes, what municipalities that they're in, because I want people listening, if they're in those municipalities, they just need to come and see you, see what's going on, come to the coffee house, and so on. What are some of those municipalities?
Well, we're in four counties in Pennsylvania. We're in Chester County, Delaware County, Montgomery County, and York County. Okay. And York County is more central PA, Harrisburg area, whereas the other counties are southeastern outside of Philly.
Yep. Well, just share with us, I mean, it's a great work, it's a holy work, it's a joy-filled work, it's an exhausting work. That lady you pulled up is saying, I'm caring for my one child. She just looked so depleted. Yeah. It was incredible. Yeah. So what does this mean? What do you need there? Who are you looking for, so to speak? And it's going to be a blessing to them, but it's a real call to service.
Yeah, well, it definitely takes a village. You know, it takes a whole team of people to even open one house. You know, the first step in the whole process is to have the need for a house in a certain community. And then you have to identify a rental house. Then you have to approach the landlord. And oftentimes, you know, the landlords aren't familiar with what we're doing, mm-hmm. and they don't really want to rent to people with disabilities for mm-hmm. various reasons. Mostly they're fearful, you know, of the unknown, or they're prejudiced. And then we have to get the certificate of occupancy from the town, from the municipality. And each municipality, even within a county, is different mm-hmm. and runs things differently. So we're dealing right now with a municipality that wants us to install water sprinklers to the tune of $10,000. Mm. So you can see why it costs so much to open a home. And that doesn't even mean we're purchasing it. Mm-hmm. We're renting it. Mm-hmm. We would like to purchase our homes for that stability and peace of mind that our residents won't have to be asked to leave at some mm-hmm. point at the landlord's whim.
Yeah.
Yeah, which means so much to your residents,
yes,
to your people, because
yeah.
we've been speaking about